We're in a real critical point, you know, in the world today. We're in a real critical point within our church, this part of the local body of Christ. There is just so many different things going on in everybody's life. If you've noticed, everybody's under attack one way or another. You're under attack either in your body, you're under attack in your finances, you're under attack in your marriage, you're under attack in your extended family as far as division. I mean, the devil, I've never seen him as active as he is right now. Amen. He's very active. And so the Bible tells us, though, where when the devil is being active and trying to bring up sin and all the things that would separate us from God, that God would give us grace, because God's grace would be greater. Amen. And so we need to walk and live in that. But I want to minister to you this morning on some words about purposeful prayer. But while we were worshiping the Lord, the Holy Spirit put these scriptures out there, and I want to read them first, because you and I, we need to refocus on some things. And you realize that Jesus said that in a parable that he taught, he said when he was getting ready to open up the marriage supper and come back and bring everybody together. You know, there was a couple there said, "Well, we can't come. Well, we just got married." There's another man there said, "Well, I can't come. I just bought a yoke of oxen and I got to try them out." And then there's another guy said, "Well, I just bought a piece of property and I need to go look at it. So just excuse me from this great marriage supper." I'm telling you, there's going to be a day just like when the ark was shut, when God shut the ark on the door, that was it. The door of the dispensation of grace is closing so quickly. And if we don't look and see the times, we're going to miss out on what God has for us. So I'm going to read these verses of scripture with that being said. This is what Paul wrote to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 13. He says in verse 10, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. And therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." I have never heard so many people talking about their brothers and sisters than I hear right now. Everybody's talking about somebody else. Everybody's got a problem with somebody else that ain't meant to be. Families are arguing about, you need to do this, you need to do that. No, you need to let dads be dads. You need to let moms be moms. You be grandma, you be grandpa, I'll be grandpa. And let everything else work itself out. You say, "You're meddling now." No, I'm telling you, love worked no ill toward his neighbor. It doesn't matter what I've done. Doesn't matter what you've done. What matters is you pray for your brother and sister and get them in the will of the Lord. Amen. "And that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake." He's talking to the church. "To awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we believed." Come on, the sounding of the trumpet is closer than we can't even imagine. If we knew how close the sounding of the trumpet was, we couldn't sit still. We'd be so anxious, because we'd be worried about a friend or a neighbor or a coworker. We'd be so afraid that they might miss out on what you and I are assured of because of the blood of Jesus. Verse 12, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on," verse 14, "but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." The flesh will get in, it'll destroy everything God has gave us. It'll destroy unity, it'll destroy the vision, it'll destroy the plan of God. We cannot make provision. When you see the flesh trying to rise up and want to do this and do that, ask for God's grace to supersede what the flesh wants to do. Amen? And God will give it to us. Because this is so critical. We cannot be divided at this moment of time. We have got to be one. And don't let the devil, if the devil is showing you little things that nitpicks, take it to Jesus and say, Lord, if you're showing me this, then you're going to give me the ability to pray and change it and to help my brother and sister. But if it's the devil just trying to divide, I want it under your feet. Amen. Come on, don't get mad at me. We're in a struggle right now. I'm telling you, we're at the point of make it or break it. I have battled and battled and battled and battled, and I am wore out. And I need your help. You need my help. We need each other. Amen. Like never before. All right. So that's the warning by the Holy Spirit. Let's go to John 17, and I want to minister to you this morning on purposeful prayer, and that's how we can put these verses of Scripture together. We're going to leave here encouraged because we've heard a warning from the Lord, but he's going to give us a word that's going to loose our faith and build us up. So open up to John 17, and let's start reading in verse 14. John 17. Verse 14, Jesus says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Say, I'm not of the world. Oh, hallelujah. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Now notice here, why we came here, verse 17, sanctify them, make them holy through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If you're having problems in your life, if I'm having problems in my life, I need the word. That's the only answer. The word of God is what will sanctify you. It'll set you aside. It'll show you that you've been washed in the blood and you're made holy. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word. So he's talking about me. That they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. Now notice this, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved me as loved them as thou hast loved me. Brother Larry, would you pray? Yes. 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 Amen. Thank you, Brother Larry. Thank you for being here. Thank you for honoring the word. So this morning, you and I, we know that there's a battle going on. We know there's all kinds of struggle. There's a spirit of division that is working like never before. We see it in the secular world, and we see it in the church world. And we see that there's many people who have stood strong and made a strong profession of faith, and now they're backing away from that profession of faith because they're being divided from Jesus. They're being divided from this word because they've been hurt, they've been hindered, and all these things that's going on. It's just a plan of the enemy. And so you and I this morning, we need to know that by the Holy Spirit, we can come to purposeful prayer. Purposeful prayer. Prayer. We can be in a place where we can pray like Jesus did. And how many knows that Jesus got his prayers answered? Come on. And he ever liveth to make intercession for you and I, the saints, those who have been sanctified, those who have been made holy. So, see, you and I, we have been, the blood of Jesus made us righteous. But when we get washed in the water of the word, that's when the revelation of holiness starts coming up in our life. And when you and I realize how holy we are, Brother Donnie, those things, they don't mean nothing. Those things that the devil tries to discourage us about, disappoint us about, tries to attach to us, nah, they just go on by. But then when we see somebody else struggling with those things, we go, wait a minute, I can pray. I can pray like my Lord and Savior did for me, and I can pray that He'll send a word that will sanctify them, that will bring truth in their life, that will show them that they don't have to be discouraged. They don't have to be disillusioned. They don't have to be in a place of discontentment. They don't have to be divided, but yet they can be one. That's what Jesus wants you and I to do. This is the critical, most critical point in our life. That you and I, we need to pray for the person that aggravates us the most. We need to pray for them the most. Oh, come on now. It's the truth. Because see, the enemy wants you and I to be in a place, in a position where, well, I love this brother. I love this sister. Well, I like this brother. I like this sister. Ooh. Now, Jesus, He said that He was all through the New Testament, over and over, He's no respecter of persons. And He said that when you and I are in that place where that love is flowing, it brings us in a place of unity, and love will always supersede like. Amen? And love will be the thing that will be the glue. Come on, God, for God so loved the world. The love of God is the glue that puts the body of Christ together. It talks about that you and I are held together with the ligaments of love in the spirit body. We're talking about the ligaments of the love of God that making the body of Christ. And so here Jesus is in this place and He says, the only way that you can come to the truth is if you recognize the source. We're in a place right now where they have all sorts of formulas. They're going through all sorts of ideals and they're trying this plan and that plan of man to get people into the church. Sure, I want people to come to church, but I'm not interested in getting them in the building. I want them to be baptized in the body, don't you? So man's plan isn't going to do it. We can have this and we can have that and all those things. If God hasn't orchestrated it, if God hasn't organized it, if God hasn't ordained it, it doesn't matter what you and I do, it's not going to work. So we need to come back. I need to have purposeful prayer. I need to look at what Jesus said. Now Jesus said, He said, as I'm praying, look, go down to verse 20. He said, neither pray I these for these alone, but I pray for them which shall believe on me through their word. So Jesus is praying for you. He's praying for me, but He's praying for that person right now that you and I may have gave up on. And He wants you and I to be in that place, in that position where we grab a hold of His vision, His understanding, and say, Lord, I want You to sanctify me. I want You to separate me from what I'm feeling, what I'm thinking, all the lies of this world. Help me get in tune with Your Spirit. Help me get hooked up with Your Spirit, and help me pray that this oneness can come forth. See, we don't know that one person that we don't want to pray for. As we pray for them, that may be the key for the thing that is on our heart's desire. We don't know everything. God, He can look into the heart of people, and He knows what the enemy's doing. He knows what's being withheld from you and I. He knows where the devil has a legal right to work in my life because I may not be following holy this word of God. Now look what Jesus done that I could follow Him holy. Back up to verse 19. And for their sakes, Jesus said, I sanctify myself. Oh my gosh, the sinless Lamb of God, the one that shed His holy precious blood, He said while He walked in this earth, He gave a living example of how to sanctify, how to make oneself holy in the flesh. So if I will look to this word, this Bible, I'll look to the example of Jesus Christ. I can receive that example, and then by His Spirit living in and abiding in me, in the believer, I will have the ability to walk like Jesus walked. Can you imagine? Now, if somebody spits in my face, you get mad. Come on. Can you imagine? They spat in His face. They grabbed and they pulled His beard out. And when everything was said and done, as He's getting ready to give up the ghost, He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what That's the word this morning. That person that is aggravating you, that has disappointed you, that has hurt you, your hurt is important to the Lord. Your disappointment is important to the Lord. But whatever that person has done, to be completely honest with you, they don't know why they've done it. The devil is working in their life. He has a stronghold. They are blind. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that the God of this world blinds people. So you and I need to come to purposeful prayer. We need to say, Lord, open their eyes that they may see. Show me how I can walk in this love that will bring a revelation and an unction to them. He said, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they might also might be sanctified through the truth. Nobody can know the truth unless they first see it in our lives. That's the way Jesus set it up. He said, I want my church to be the light of the world. And I want them to live the truth. That way, when they speak the truth, that the power of what they've spoken will already be backed up by the power of what they lived, and it'll be so impactful in a lost person's life, in a deceived person's life, in a hurt person's life, that it'll change them. Amen? Okay, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's see what Paul said. We're going to go there, and I just got just a few scriptures to give you this morning, and then we're going to pray. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul's closing out this epistle, and look what he says. He starts in, for sake of time, he starts in verse 21, and he says, prove all things. But the way that you and I prove all things is from verse 19, or from verse 20, is by the word being prophesied, the word going into our lives. He said, prove all things. He said, see what's right and then allow it in your life. See, a lot of people know what's right, but they won't allow it in their life. So approve and allow all things that's right. Hold fast that which is good. And hold yourself to it. Apply it to your life. He says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Anything that's hurtful. That word evil could easily be translated, and if you look at it in the Greek, it means hurtful. Anything that is hurtful, because you and I, we wouldn't purposefully do anything evil, but we might do something hurtful. Come on, the flesh, you hurt it. It wants to hurt someone else. Now, here's why we came here. He said, in the very God of peace, if I'll do these previous things, and of course, you got to read this whole chapter to get all these previous things, but I don't have time this morning for that, but you need to in your home study time. And the very God of peace shall sanctify, shall make you holy. If you and I will be willing to humble ourselves and do these things, the very God of peace shall sanctify. He shall make us holy, holy, fully. Now, this is what Paul is praying. This is what he's leaving with the church there at Thessalonica. That's what the Spirit of God is speaking to you and I. If we're in the place where we're hearing the Word of God and we're rejecting the things that's not of the Word of God and we're holding on to those things that's good, he said that the God of peace, I don't know about you, I need peace in every area of my life. I may not understand why I'm going through this trial. I may not understand why I'm going through this struggle. And that's okay if God will give me his peace. Because I'd rather have the peace than to know the answer, the reason. Because, see, the reason may be my fault. So what's that going to help me to know the reason? I mean, I can repent of it, but I'm still going to have to get through it. But I'd rather have his peace to get, because his peace will take me wherever I need to go. Amen. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Now look what he says. Here's our purposeful prayer. I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what you and I, if we're not careful, now don't get mad at me, don't raise your hand, but be honest to the Lord. I want the Holy Spirit to show you your prayer life this morning. How much of it is it in reverse order to what Paul just said? Most of our prayer life starts with flesh, come on, body, Then it gets into the soul, which is the mind, will, and the emotions. And then finally, if I'm not too tired, or if nothing's distracted me, or if nobody's called, or nobody's knocked on the door, then we'll get into the spiritual things. Am I not being honest with? But Paul said, no, we need to flip this thing right around. He said, we need to pray a purposeful prayer, and that purposeful prayer starts out with the things of the Spirit. That you'd be found whole, I'd be found whole, blameless under the coming of the Lord, spirit, soul, and body. See, you can listen to me pray just for a little bit, and you can tell whether I am more in the flesh or more in the spirit. Because what I'm praying is going to reveal what I'm focused on. And what I'm focused on is going to determine whether I've been alone with Jesus, this word, or I've been alone with this situation in the world. Now, we're to pray for all things. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not belittling any of those things. But purposeful prayer will always start with the things of the Spirit first. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. About the kingdom, thy kingdom, which now lives in us, Luke 17:21, it's in us, but come out of my life. I know this is rough, but we're in a situation, y'all, I'm telling you. We think everything's just going to work itself out. It's not going to work itself out without prayer. It's not going to work itself out without you and I following after the Lord. Don't walk the way of the world. Don't do what the world does and think that you're going to get my results, thus saith the Lord. You have got to be proactive as I'm proactive in your life. If you will be proactive, I will show you things that will cause you to see my glory, that will cause you to be edified, that will cause you to come to a new level of faith to believe me for all things. Come on, hallelujah. We've got to do what God wants us to do. We got people right now, they think, oh, America, America, America. I love America. God's not going to take his hand off America, really. We keep poking our finger in God's eye. We're going to find out just exactly what's going to happen to America. The only reason why we're at where we're at is because our work in the missionary field. God has gave us grace because we're working in the harvest. Things are not going to keep going on the way they are. You realize the Bible tells us what it's going to be like when your billfold is worthless. It's going to be worthless. They're getting us closer and closer to a digital currency. And when that is able to be put in place, you and I, we better be listening. Okay, in closing, go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Paul praying for the church at Thessalonica, following the example of Jesus. And here he's praying for the church at Rome, following the example of Jesus. Look what he says in Romans, starting in verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 8. He says, first, this is Paul. He said, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken throughout the whole world. So the very first thing that comes out of Paul's mouth is thankfulness. You know what the biggest sin in the church is today? Unthankful. Unthankfulness. I need to be so thankful that I'm not going to a devil's hell. I need to be so thankful that I've been forgiven. I need to be so thankful that I can have fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, through the Spirit every moment of my life. Jesus said that I'm going to go away and send another comforter that he may abide with you forever. And he'll only lift up Jesus. He'll only bring to your remembrance. He'll only bring to my remembrance. He'll only teach us new things of what Jesus said. We've got this perfect fellowship, and it's available to us all the time. Why am I not thankful? Focusing on the wrong thing. purposeful prayer. So he said, notice what he said there. He said, thankful for you all. Now, what the Holy Ghost is going to do this morning, and to those who are listening to this later on, if you will receive it, if I will receive it, he's going to impart to us a truth about a situation that has divided us from a person, where we can be thankful for them. How many times have you heard people, they prayed and prayed and prayed for people to come to church, and the next thing you know, they're upset because the church is dirty. I heard Brother Kenny tell this story about this, that when they went and bought their first church van, they went there and they said, why y'all decided to sell the church van? He said, the only thing that church van did was bring in a bunch of kids. They just made the carpet dirty and said they didn't let them pay no tithes. Said this thing was the biggest, it cost us more than it would ever benefit. That was from the pastor. That's scary. But Paul said in our purposeful prayer that we could find the place where we're thankful for everybody. Amen? Because what did he say about the faith? See, all of a sudden, when we're in the operating in the faith realm, we're going spirit, soul, body, like Paul said, rather than body, soul, spirit. In the faith realm, I'm looking at the giftings and calling of God on your life. I'm looking at the blessings that you are to the body of Christ. I'm looking at to the power of witness you are to a lost and dying world. And I'm not looking to those things that might bother or upset my flesh. Amen? Oh, glory! Verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. I'm not going to pray for them anymore. I have shed tears. I have prayed. And what has it got me? It's got me a sore throat, a dry mouth, sore knees. Forget it. Mm-mm. Thank God Jesus is still praying for us. Amen. Amen. He said, I make mention of you always, always in my prayers. Verse 10, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Now, yes, he's talking about coming to and visiting the church at Rome. But also, I want you not to limit it at that. I want you to see it spiritually. What the Holy Spirit can do can take you and I to the spirit of that person that we're praying for, can get us past the body and the soul, and can get us into the place where we can truly communicate. We can truly love. See, you can't truly love. The love in the body is a different kind of love. The love in the mind, in the soul, is a different kind of love. But the love that is in the spirit is of the Holy Ghost. It's of God. It's non-judgmental. It's there's no jealousy there. There's no inferiority there. There's no big eyes and little U's and all those things. He said, I make mention of you, making requests that I may have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come into you. When you and I, we need to go where our brother and sister's at. If there's something about their life that is bothering you, you go there and stand between them and the devil. We've been called to intercessory prayer. And intercessory prayer means that you can stand between them in that situation and give them a chance that they might recover themselves out of the snare. Come on, to the devil. Verse 11, for I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. See, that's why the devil doesn't want you and I to work together, and that's why he doesn't want us to have unity, spirit, soul, and body, because you've got something I need. Every one of us has got something by the Holy Spirit to give to somebody else. Paul said, I want to establish a gift to someone. I don't want to miss that. But see, most people that they let the devil tell them they're so little and so small that it doesn't matter if they pray, it doesn't matter if they show up, it doesn't matter what they do. All of those are lies. You've got giftings in your life. Open up the cupboard door of your spirit and let me come in. Amen. We got to give to our brothers and sisters what we have. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. Verse 12. That is that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and of me. Now, can you imagine the Apostle Paul, the faith level where he was at? Remember what he said? He said, I have faith to move all mountains. Remember that? That's what he told the church at Corinth. He said, I've got faith to move all mountains. But he said, if I don't operate in love, I become as a sounding, just an empty sound. And here then all of a sudden Paul says, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me. Remember what I said when we started this? The thing that you and I need the most may have to come from the person that we... Paul is saying, I'm not going to be comforted unless I receive from you. Purposeful prayer. How to change everything by prayer. Prayer changes your attitude. Prayer changes my attitude. Prayer changes our heart, because as we pray the Word of God, then Jesus said that we would be what? We'd sanctify them through the truth. Thy Word is the truth. When we pray the Word of God, then we're the spirit man rises up and takes control. Amen? It's a powerful thing. I want to close with this thought, and I want us to pray about some things. But there was a man. He was preaching at this college, and he was a great evangelist, Tony Capilouro, and so they wanted to, some of the young men that were going to Bible school there, they wanted to pray for him before. He took the pulpit and preached the service. So they were in the back, behind the stage and so forth. And he said they all knelt down and said they all gathered around him. And he said there was eight of those men, and said all eight of them put their hands on him and started praying. And he said that was wonderful. That was great. He said, but they kept praying and praying and praying. He said, if you've ever had eight people with that's 16 hands, he said, on you, he said, you get hot pretty quick. And said, the longer they pray, the more weight they're putting on you. Now, I got a point for this. Don't miss what I'm going to say. So he said that he had done got out of the spirit. He couldn't pray, and because he was getting more and more hot and more tired trying to hold these eight men, these 16 hands up. And he said, and then one of them, he said, one guy there, he said he wasn't even praying for me. He said he was praying for some guy named Charlie Solis. And I thought, you're putting more weight on me than anybody else. You're about to push me through this altar, and you're not even praying for me in this service. And he said, I finally just broke them off and went and said, we had church. And they preached the message and said it was just a normal church service. Well, there ain't no such thing as a normal church service. If we make it one, we can make it one, but it ain't in God's eyes. But anyway, so church ended. He went and said his goodbyes, got in his car, and he's left. When he got in the car, he got on the freeway, and he just went just a short while, and there was a man standing on the side of the freeway hitchhiking. And the Holy Ghost said, stop and pick him up. He said, oh, God, I'm so tired. I said, all these people pushing on me, way over outside of me. Stop and pick him up. He stopped and he picked the man up. The man got in and he said, my name's Tony. What's yours? Charlie Stolitz. Charlie Stolitz. The man that had been leaning on him the hardest, that wasn't even praying for him, was praying for Charlie Stolens. And what he was praying was, and said, and this is what was aggravating the preacher so much, he said he was praying, "Lord, I pray for Charlie Stolens. He lives 1 mile down the road on the right in an old silver beat up trailer house. Said, you told me this morning that he had a fight with his wife and that he packed up his bag and he left his wife and his kids and he's going out and he's going to meet death if something don't happen. Oh, Lord, wherever he's at, find him and bring him to the Lord." Praise. See what God done? The preacher here was all upset. He said he was thinking when he was praying, he said, God doesn't need to know where he lives. Why are you even praying? He wasn't praying for God's benefit. Right. Right. So what did he do? What did Brother Tony do? He said, where are you going? He said, I'm just looking for some place to go. He said, I went right down, got off the freeway and turned around and headed back the other direction. He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm taking you home. He said, you can't take me home. You don't even know me. He said, you live just up the road here, a mile past the church in a silver trailer. The guy jumped over against the door and gave him a look like he never saw before. He said, you left your wife this morning and your kids because you've gave up on everything. He said, who told you that? He said, in a roundabout way, God did. So he went and took him back home. When he opened the door, the wife come running out, said, oh, I'm so glad to see you. And he prayed that mama and that daddy, he prayed them to salvation. And that household was turned and saved to the Lord. Purposeful prayer. There's nothing about your life that is accident or happenstance. Your steps, the Bible says, the steps of a righteous man, woman, boy, or girl are ordered by the Lord. The Lord knows where you're at all times. If you and I get in tune and in touch with Him, He can change everything. But we can't be body, soul, spirit. We've got to be spirit, soul, body. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, as I've been praying for y'all, I don't just put wants or desires or plans. I don't pray for you that way anymore. I used to. But me and Donna, when we pray scriptures. And so as we was praying for you, this is the scriptures that the Holy Ghost gave us to give y'all. I know everybody's not here and I hate it so bad. But everybody here, you've got a scripture and there's a little word in there that the Spirit of God spoke to me. But here's what you've got to do. If it doesn't bear witness with you, throw it away. But if it bears witness with you, you pray that scripture. And then the moment you pray that scripture, you lift your hands and you say, I receive in Jesus' name. God's word's not dead, it's alive. But it's so important this morning that you and I, this word is going to help us go through this battle. Remember we had that service 3 weeks ago, Brother Green, you know, and we're up here. It was amazing. That's the only thing that's kept us going this far is because we obeyed the Lord. The devil is trying to seek a way to destroy what God is going to do in and through this church. And we got to say no, amen. Pray with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you by the power of the Holy Ghost that you take your holy living word, you take Jesus, your son, and let him be alive to us like never before. Show us any area that we are out of sync. We're not going spirit, soul, and body. Some area in our life. You show us that place that there's disunity, that there's disharmony, whatever it might be. We'll yield it to you. And I ask that you take these words and these verses of scripture that your spirit spoke to my heart and let them take root into every one of our lives. Let it bear witness with us. And help us to move forward in this, in your will, your word, in great power. Lord, touch us and draw us right now. Help us come to that place where we step up above what the enemy has. And we put the feet of Jesus on top of the plan, the words, the hurt, the illusion of the enemy, and we rejoice. We sing a new song unto you, a song of victory. Lord, let it be. We ask you in Jesus' name. Would you come this morning and make yourself an altar and just say, Lord, I'm here to worship you. I'm here to let you put purposeful prayer in my life. My tongue is not going to tear down and disparage, but my tongue is going to be used for edification. It's going to be used to change situations and circumstances. My spirit man is going to fill my soul. I'm going to be renewed in my soul. And when my soul is renewed, I won't fill a void through my body, but rather I'll change my body by my spirit hearing from heaven and speaking to my soul, and my soul ministering the truth into my body. Let it be. Come on, I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, help us to yield and trust you like never before. We praise you for it in Jesus' name.